In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, November 20th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Two Vietnamese Christians who have spoken out for human rights have been subjected to multiple physical attacks at the hands of the police. Tran Minh Nhat and Chu Man Son have already served lengthy prison sentences. According to UCA News, Mr. Nhat was assaulted a second time while he was on his way to a medical clinic to treat wounds he sustained in a previous attack. Please pray for the persecuted. Government officials in Ethiopia are attempting a confiscation of church property in the city of Harar. The church leaders have been arrested and face years in prison, according to Open Doors. Almost all of the officials in this area of Ethiopia are Muslim. Presidential candidate Mike Huckabee is being sued for his use of the Survivor hit song, Eye of the Tiger, when he escorted Kim Davis out of a Kentucky jail in September. Co-author of the song, Frank M. Sullivan III, filed suit in federal court Wednesday, charging Huckabee with violating copyright. Thousands are expected to show up at a revival meeting in Tokyo, Japan this weekend. Franklin Graham will present a gospel message at the event that will be called The Celebration of Love. A French prosecutor says the ringleader of last week's terrorist attacks in Paris is dead, killed in a police raid. Mr. Abaoud is a suspect in 4 more terror plots that French authorities have foiled over recent months. Recent ISIS videos have threatened Washington and New York City. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio issued a statement on Wednesday claiming a recent addition of 500 officers to the NYPD. He said New York will not be intimidated. Breitbart News reports that 8 Syrians were apprehended on an attempt to enter the country in Laredo, Texas on Monday. In a speech before the Council on Foreign Relations, presidential candidate Hillary Clinton said, quote, "Islam is not our adversary," unquote, in the fight against the Islamic State. Plus, she discouraged the use of religious tests in vetting the Syrian refugees. Proverbs 21 says, "When a scoffer is punished, the simple become wise. When a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge." There are still consequences for the sin of fornication in this nation's courts. Subway pitchman Jared Fogle will serve 13 to 15 years in prison for committing fornication with multiple teenage women and his possession of child pornography. The sentencing judge, Tanya Walton Pratt, said, quote, "The level of perversion and lawlessness exhibited by Mr. Fogle was extreme," unquote. Jonathan Doherty, founder and director of Be Broken Ministries, told The Worldview that child pornography is a growing problem in America.
The problem's huge. I mean, I don't know a lot of these specific numbers on child porn, but it's definitely a huge issue. I've had conversations with FBI here in San Antonio area and what they're doing in terms of prosecution and those kind of things. And it's just, they're never able to get ahead of it, meaning they may shut down 10, 12 websites that they know of and then another 20 pop up.
Doherty said that anybody with a pornography problem should seek help sooner rather than later.
The difficulty of the process of recovery gets harder and harder the longer you wait. And so it's always better to bring into light what's in the dark earlier rather than later.
The Food and Drug Administration has approved the production of the nation's first genetically engineered fish. It's a salmon designed to grow twice as fast as a typical salmon, ready for consumption in about a year and a half. The Aqua Bounty Company plans to produce the fish in facilities in Canada and Panama, all specimens to be female and sterile. Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and Target have refused to sell the fish, according to the Washington Times. Senator Ted Cruz is gaining on Senator Marco Rubio in the World Magazine survey of evangelical leaders. Rubio still holds 45% to Cruz's 25%. These are followed by Jeb Bush, Carly Fiorina, and Ben Carson, who holds only 3.5% of the vote among evangelical leaders. The largest insurance company in America is considering dropping Obamacare's individual exchanges. United Healthcare is looking at projected losses for 2015 and 2016 policy years. The incidence of sexually transmitted diseases is on a sharp rise in the United States. This includes chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. Between 2013 and 2014, syphilis rates increased among women by 23% and 14% among heterosexual males, according to the Center for Disease Control. God warns in 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. The second largest diamond ever recovered was found in Botswana earlier this month. The 1,111-carat stone is only second to the 3,106-carat Cullinan diamond discovered in South Africa in 1905. The Canadian company Lucara's stock increased by $150 million in value after the discovery. Of even more value, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And that's the world view in 5 minutes on this Friday, November 20th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Steve Vaughn in studio today. And we just come out for the Freedom Conference, an amazingly successful conference. Had a great audience, and God bless that conference in so many different ways. But, of course, we experienced a media firestorm coming out of the conference, largely because I think we touched the conscience of a nation. This nation's a bit bothered, and any time the nation has taken up a fight with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, you don't pick a fight with the creator of all of the galaxies, all of the planets, this entire solar system. You don't pull together a couple of ants and lift a fist to the Almighty and think you can get away with it. See, again, this is, I think, the reason why the media firestorm. We have touched the conscience of a nation, and they realize they're in trouble. They're in trouble with the God of the universe. And there's been some controversy over me reading the Word of God, reading the Bible. That's the most dangerous that it got at the conference. Somebody read the Word of God. Quotations from Romans 1 and Leviticus 20. Just short quotations. Didn't spend much time with it. Probably somewhere between 2 and 4 seconds of time. But just reading the Bible is the most controversial thing you can do in America today. Very controversial. And of course, the national media lies all the time. All the time. It's one thing. I think everybody understands this. Every conservative in America knows the national media lies, and they lie all the time. They twist and they twist and they twist. That's a given. All right. But what we want to do on this edition of the program briefly is to just clarify once more. I think the gods of the copybook headings limp up to explain it once more, as Kipling would put it. So let's do it. Let's limp up to the microphone and explain it once more. And the first point is this, and this is something I addressed at the conference, at the Freedom Conference. American Christians are embarrassed, generally speaking, of the Word of God. American Christians, generally speaking, are embarrassed of the Word of God. They refuse to acknowledge Romans 1 and Leviticus 20. And friends, we're going to stand by the ethical standards of God's Word, and we're going to say God's Word establishes the general equity, the truth, the general justice of the matter. God's word defines righteousness for us, and we're going to declare the word of God unabashedly. We're not embarrassed of the truth of God's word. Now, it's true that Leviticus 20, Romans 1, when it speaks of homosexuals, quote, worthy of death, unquote, Paul's words, not mine. When we quote these messages, these passages refer to the civil magistrate. And it is a sin, of course, for individuals to say they want to kill homosexuals. And all vigilantism is wrong. And we've said this many, many times before, and we'll say it again. But that doesn't in any way diminish the truth of God's word as conveyed in Leviticus 20:13 and Romans 1:32. As pastors also, our first desire is to preach the word of God and to preach the gospel to homosexuals and all other sinners. Now, as it turns out, Americans have self-justified themselves And homosexuals in America tend to want to self-justify themselves on this particular sin. And the reason is, of course, because they're Pharisees. And they will not fall on their face before God like the publican did and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. They don't want to do that. They don't want to call themselves sinners. And so they've self-justified themselves. And they have manufactured official justifications for their behavior. And these come all the way from the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, it's very, very deeply encoded Pharisaism. Very deeply encoded Pharisaism, because it's Pharisaism that comes all the way from the Supreme Court of the United States on down. That's why Americans tend to have very hard hearts when it comes to sin. Now, of course, the fact of the matter is that homosexuality is the tip of the iceberg, but it goes all the way down. So the justification for homosexuality provides justification for everybody else, the other 95% of the iceberg that lies under the water. And that's the nature of icebergs. Yeah, we see a bit of a tip of it. Once you can justify the tip of it, you can justify the rest of it. And that's what the Supreme Court of the United States has done. Okay, secondly, here's my second point on this edition of the program. We clarify my position, my particular position on this issue. I believe that the civil magistrates, that is the government, has some leeway as to the application of God's word. So when asked by the media, would you encourage our legislators to back the death penalty for homosexuals? I've said a clear no. That's right, I've said no. I've said no to that question. And of course, nobody wants to really quote me. Nobody really wants to quote me. And they don't want to quote me on that because of the basis for which I say this. And I say it because I really believe that Americans need an opportunity to repent of their sins, because there is a judgment waiting them far more significant than anything the civil magistrate can do, and that is eternal hellfire judgment. That's a terrible thing. Jesus himself said, fear not him who can destroy the body, but fear rather him who can destroy body and soul in hell. All right, you want something to fear? You fear God himself who can destroy body and soul in hell. This is a more significant judgment that we need to be talking about. And people who want to divert the discussion towards the civil magistrate are merely people who don't want to face the judgment of Almighty God. And that's what I impressed upon hundreds of millions of Americans when I gave that message at the Freedom Conference. All right, so I believe that the civil magistrate has some leeway in the application of God's word. When asked by the media, would you encourage our legislators to back the death penalty for homosexuality? I say a clear no, and I believe that's in keeping with Matthew 7. You see, our civil magistrate is almost completely compromised with sexual sin. Not just the sin of homosexuality, but adultery, the Ashley Madison thing, and it's not just our civil magistrates, it's also our Christian leaders, sadly, compromised by pornography, Ashley Madison, and so on and so forth. So I believe that this is in keeping with Matthew 7, as Jesus said, he that is without sin can cast the first stone. So what I've done is called the nation to repentance, warning them that they are subject to the judgment of Almighty God, a far more severe judgment than what the civil magistrate can do. The call for repentance, I've included adulterers, those who are guilty of illegitimate divorce, and pornography addictions. Okay, this nation is shot through with sexual crimes, and the only hope for this nation is repentance in the grassroots. And that's what I called for at the conference. Perhaps one of the most painful messages I've ever given. It would have been much more simple to say, hey, we can solve this by electing the next president of the United States. But in speaking with some of the candidates backstage, I asked, is it possible we can reverse Obergefell? And the answer is, probably not. And the reason? Because America is shot through with sexual sin. So civil government is largely irrelevant. I'm sorry. I know it'd be easy for us to say, hey, we can solve these problems with civil government. But friends, at this point, the only thing that's going to solve the problem is repentance that begins in the household of God. And yes, it's got to begin with our leaders, many of which have already gone through all of these scandals over the last 3 to 4 years. It's too many for me to count at this point. But our Christian leaders, our conservative Christian leaders, some cases are homeschool conservative Christian leaders from conservative evangelical churches, reformed churches, have come forth and in some cases confessed serious sexual sins that have constituted some terrible scandals in the Church of Jesus Christ. So judgment begins in the household of God. Repentance has got to happen in the grassroots, or nothing's going to happen in the civil magistrate. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations. The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentation, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com. And welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you today as we once again take a look at what's happening with the nation. And friends, the status of this nation is not good. And I think, again, there are microcosms, there are symbolic representations of what's happening in the nation as a whole. And this example in Salt Lake City, Utah, I think is one of the most prime examples of the apostasy of the nation and the destruction of the nation.
But I thought Salt Lake City was like the pinnacle, the bastion of family and, you know, moms and dads and lots of kids.
It's supposed to be the bastion of conservatism. And Mormonism has been presented as something of the bastion of conservatism. But, friends, too many facades. Too much in terms of externalisms and religion that really doesn't accomplish anything ultimately. Salt Lake City, Utah has a new mayor. She's the first lesbian mayor of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Wow.
And, you know, somewhat of a shock, I think, to some people because they're assuming that Utah is going to be conservative. And it certainly is the home of the Mormon Church, Salt Lake City itself being the home, the mecca of the Mormon Church. And yet they've got a lesbian mayor. But this is representative of what is going on in the state itself and within the Mormon Church itself. Remember, the highest porn download rates in America, Utah and Mississippi. But that, of course, is because that's where you have the highest church attendance rate.
Right.
And we've correlated that many times on the program. Makes perfect sense with this sham religion that makes up so much of America. And the highest porn download rates per county, I went down in the county and then discovered that it happened to be the counties in which they had the very highest church attendance rates in Utah. So, you know, again, it's a perfect correlation. And the point being that anytime you begin to see homosexuality reveal itself, you got to believe that there's something under the water. Where you see the tip of the iceberg, friends, the other 95% is under the water, and that's where you find the pornography addictions. That's where you find the child molestations. That's where you're going to find the illegitimate divorces and fill in the blank. That's America. That's the picture. That's the very picture of America itself. America is that nation that, yes, is shot through with sexual sin. They hide 95% of it under the water. The other 5% sticks up to the top, and that is being celebrated at the highest positions of the land, including the mayorship of Salt Lake City and the Supreme Court of the United States. It's also interesting that the current mayor of Salt Lake City, Ralph Becker, is also pro-homosexual. He's not a homosexual as far as I know, but he is pro-homosexual, and he's attending the Economist magazine's Pride and Prejudice conference in March of next year. Just happened to see that in my Economist magazine. It showed up last night. Sure enough, you know, the bastion of conservatism is ultimately the place at which the future of this nation is being eroded in the most fundamental sense. And this Economist magazine is also very interesting because the one conference they will promote in 2016 is all about homosexuality. If they are at all about the preservation of culture, and sometimes they're a little more conservative in terms of debt, a little more conservative in terms of economic policy, but they want to be that sort of edgy, progressive organization that promotes homosexuality in the business world and the very thing that will destroy nations. And people don't believe that, that homosexuality will be the catalyst by which nations are destroyed, because they don't believe that God exists, and they don't believe that God is judge, and they don't believe that God has the right to determine right and wrong, good and evil, as he does in the Word of God. Okay, that's the great presupposition that underlies the great apostasy of the modern world, including that of Economist magazine. But
well,
it
makes sense, because you know you have God who is life himself, and you deny life, we call it death. And so when a country denies God, they deny life, and therefore the country is going to die.
All those who hate me love death. It's Proverbs chapter 8 in reference to wisdom. All those who hate wisdom love death. Wisdom as presented as Christ himself, and of course, the word that is conveyed to us through all 66 books of the Bible. Well, again, it's very interesting that Salt Lake City becomes the bastion of liberalism for the entire nation. Salt Lake City becoming one of the most pro-homosexual cities in America. And on top of that, the CEO of Marriott will attend the Economist Pride and Prejudice Conference as well, advertised on the back cover of Economist magazine, just came out yesterday. So again, what does that mean? That means that the leaders of these Mormon organizations, these leaders within the Mormon religion, are more and more supportive of the tip of the iceberg, that is the homosexual position. It's interesting, my friends, that the Mormon Church will not be leading this nation in national repentance. I think we can all agree on that. They're not going to be a leader in national repentance. It's not going to happen. The Mormon Church is not going to lead the nation in national repentance. And that's the reason for that is because they're not going to lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Homosexuality is the tip of a gigantic iceberg that goes far underneath the waters. We have 60 years of illegitimate divorce, Playboy magazine, and pornography addictions and fornication. The shack-up rate is 10 times what it was in 1970 today. And until these things are dealt with, friends, we're not going to see homosexuality resolved in this nation anytime too soon. And we're not going to see it back in the closet anytime too soon. All right. Well, just a couple other stories before we're done. And these are related stories, and I think they're important. It's another indication, more indications of the apostasy of the nation. It's not just the Mormons. It's also Christian evangelical universities like Grand Canyon University in Phoenix has now capitulated to providing benefits to married same-sex couples that work for them.
Wow.
So this is Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, Arizona. You remember we were fairly close as an organization to working with them in relation to the Christian home education movement here in Colorado.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah, there was some connection. They were trying to provide something for them. I'm thankful that we didn't partner with them, because we had a few other issues.
Yeah, there were some things that came up, and we were going, we need to look into this further, and I'm glad we looked into it further.
Yeah, I am too. Well, Grand Canyon University in Phoenix, friends, they present themselves as a Christian university. They have finally come out of the closet and admitted that they support homosexuality and same-sex benefits. We're certainly going to see a line between that which is of Christ and that which is anti-Christ in the years to come. Friends, this is the direction that this nation is headed. And if you do not submit to the requirements of the Supreme Court of the United States recognizing same-sex marriage for the first time in 6,000 years, if you will not be on board with that fundamental decision that reorganized all of civil society and social systems in this country, you will be persecuted. And if I have time, I want to get to the equality bill that was launched just 3 weeks after Obergefell in the Congress of the United States, the Equality Act of 2015. It was July 23rd, just 3-4 weeks after Obergefell. The Congress jumped right on it, and they are preparing to persecute Christians in America. That is the essence of the equality bill the Equality Act of 2015, H.R. 3185, and Senate Bill 1858. So persecution probably right around the corner for Christians. Many Christian colleges will not want to submit themselves to that level of persecution because it may involve them dissolving as universities and becoming more like decentralized discipleship centers for Christians in small basements and small churches dotted throughout the United States. Yeah, we may wind up like China in the years to come. If that be the case, then we will see a strong distinction between those that will stand with Christ and those who will stand against him.
Yeah, but that also means a strengthening of the true church. Whenever the church is driven underground because of persecution, it doesn't mean the church doesn't exist. The church in China is strong. The church in Cambodia is strong because they know they have to face this type of persecution and that it's not health, wealth, happiness, and healing. If you come to Jesus, it's if you come to Jesus, you might meet him tonight if somebody finds out.
Well, I want to jump back into the Equality Act before we're done. I've got 4 to 5 minutes left on this program. But this is a New American article reviewing what happened on November 10th when White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest confirmed that, quote, the administration strongly supports the Equality Act. No question in my mind that that would happen. Actually, the President of the United States showed up on the cover of Out magazine just a few days ago. So no question in my mind why this would happen, that the administration would support the Equality Act of 2015 on November 10th. White House Press Secretary Earnest said it is now clear that the administration strongly supports the Equality Act. That bill is historic legislation that would advance the cause of equality for millions of Americans. We certainly are pleased with the many legislators in Congress that have stepped forward to try to advance the bill that would deliver comprehensive equal rights for LGBT Americans. Now, as it turns out, Andrew T. Walker, the Director of Policy Studies for the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention, has written an article called The Equality Act, Bad Policy That Poses Great Harms. In his essay, Walker wrote that the Equality Act represents the most invasive threat to religious liberty ever proposed. Wow. This is language that I use from time to time. People say sometimes I use hyperbole. But you know what? I don't think we use much hyperbole these days, and I don't think these representatives of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention use hyperbole either. Equality Act, the most invasive threat to religious liberty ever proposed, were to pass, the sweeping effects on religious liberty, free speech, and freedom of conscience would be historic. Among the insightful points that Walker made to bolster his position were: to favor the Equality Act is to oppose and actively stigmatize the moral convictions that millions of Americans adhere to with abiding sincerity and deep religious precedent, ergo towards the issue of homosexuality as mentioned in Romans 1, Leviticus 20. Passing anti-discrimination statutes on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity lacks both the philosophical warrant and the cultural necessity of protections based on race. In other words, what they're trying to do is they're trying to just associate the race discrimination thing with the sexual orientation discrimination thing. Unlike race, sexual orientation, gender identity are known through conduct, which can and should be ethically evaluated. Ergo, you don't have a whole lot of control over the color of your skin, but you do have some control over what you do with your sexual organs. That should be intuitively obvious to 99.9% of our audience. There has never been systemic regime of laws aimed at demeaning the existence of LGBT individuals comparable to Jim Crow. Consider the cases of florists, photographers, and bakers who have had no problem serving gay customers for years but have objected to providing their services for gay weddings. The Equality Act leaves these individuals defenseless by failing to accommodate their sincere religious beliefs and by failing to distinguish between the dignity of gay individuals and the particular conduct in which some cannot in good conscience participate. All right, so those are some of the issues raised by this Southern Baptist Convention Ethics Commission, and to which I would say we need to come back to the Word of God, to the laws of God again and again, and ask ourselves at what point are we supporting the homosexuality of these particular individuals, and it's a food offered to idols issue for the average Christian. We cannot participate in these particular idolatrous activities or support these idolatrous activities or these activities that support a perverted form of sexuality. We just simply cannot support those sorts of things. Now, can we sell apples to homosexuals? Yes, we can. Yet, can we provide hotels to homosexual couples in which they will engage in homosexual copulation No, we cannot. So again, friends, we have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves in these issues, and certainly apply the principle of food offered to idols as presented in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Well, these are the sorts of things that we talked about, the Freedom Conference, and the Quality Act is why we did the Freedom Conference. I encourage you to get the MP3 now available at our website. If you'd like the messages, we get into much, much detail on some of these things, and we want to prepare God's people for persecution. It is very possible that Christian radio stations will lose their licenses, Christian businesses will be sued, and Christian pastors will be in prison. Remember, the beast of Revelation is about two things. The beastly principle is about two things. The whore rides on the beast, sexual perversion, and the persecution of Christians. That's what the beast was all about. Check it out in the book of Revelation. I'm not saying this is the final representation and the ultimate representation of the beast. I'm just simply saying the beastly principle in the book of Revelation is about two things. The whore rides on the beast. It's about sexual perversion and the persecution of Christians. And I hope that Christians will not support the sexual perversion, and they will support those who are being persecuted by the beast. These are the things that are testing the fortitude of Christians in the years to come. Will they support the sexual perversion, or will they support Christians who are being persecuted because of this perversion? And we need to use the Equality Act as a test for every single congressperson we are electing in the 2016 elections. This is the ultimate test. You need to ask the question, will you support the Equality Bill of 2015? That's the question to ask for every single person, legislator, running for political office in the 2016 elections. And by the way, do not assume that Republicans will fight this Equality Act. I'm guessing your average Republican will probably just give in to it. I'm guessing that's what's going to happen in the 2016, 2017, 2018 legislative sessions. So be very, very careful to get involved in the political race and to do what you can to prevent the kind of persecution we may see as a result of the Equality Bill passing the Congress and signed by the President of the United States. All right, my friends, got a job to do in the years to come, and that's the purpose for the Freedom Conference. The MP3 is available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Highly recommend that you grab a copy of it if you were unable to make it to the Freedom Conference 2015. Folks, this is the Generations Radio Broadcast. You can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at generations.org. Yes, we have the web URL, generations.org. Get your friends and family members to this website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.